With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hayward hits a high fly ball, deep right field. That goes Altair. It's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam, Jason Hayward. Cubs win the ball game.
This is about as loud as we've had Wrigley since, oh, maybe 16 as a grand slam game winner. High heater ends up in the right field bleachers. Wow.
Jason Hayward being mobbed by his teammates. A game-winning grand slam. Cubs win it by a score of 7-5. What a finish.
Oh, my.
There you go. Tom Petty's running down a dream. And we really thought that was, what were the odds that we'd have that highlight played with Jason Hayward's
shocking
joining
I know, right?
us? We're back at the Cubs convention. Jason Hayward joins us here. Mike Esposito, Steve Rosenblum. Cubs convention coverage sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. And that moment was part of the narrative that writers like me and radio guys get suckered into, go, oh, my God. So Ian Happ at the first pitch of the season for a home run. Jason Hayward hits a grand slam. David Bodie hits. And
walk-off grand slams everywhere, right?
Even more improbable. So I'm a sucker for that. Do players get caught up in that kind of narrative, that kind of, or is it, okay, that's the game we won, let's move along?
Honestly, I feel like everybody handles it differently. But walk off at Wrigley Field, grand slam, you know, the whole scenario, bases loaded, two outs, two strikes, all of that down by two. You know, you live in that moment, absolutely. And the next day we got a game, but I wasn't in the starting lineup the next day, so I was just kind of, okay, like this happened. You know, sitting on the bench watching the game, staying tuned in, but, you know, people were still talking about it in the stands the next day. So it was just an awesome thing to be a part of that vibe and a part of the atmosphere at Wrigley.
So what is the vibe here? This is the third team you've gone. You had some kind of winter, some Cubs convention or Atlanta, whatever other fan fest in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Compare and contrast, because this is my first. The energy here is unbelievable.
This energy right here is it's unmatched for me when you're talking about doing a fan fest, about getting ready for spring training. And it just feels like in season again. It feels like you want to go play a game tomorrow. And
did you look outside?
Oh, yeah. But we kind of played in something like that last year. So
that's right.
But there were still fans there at the game. But it just makes it super awesome, man, for us to come together as players. And, you know, it just goes without saying, like, why we're here getting together, getting ready for another season, because we want to come back and play for fans like these.
Does it seem like, because this is what, year four of you being a Chicago Cub, I imagine by this point you're well settled in. I mean, certainly the group of guys is the same, very similar to the group of guys that you came in with. My guess is that is a good thing from a clubhouse perspective and a chemistry perspective.
Absolutely. You know, that's kind of what you hope for when you sign somewhere for long term. You want to be around the same group of guys for the most part. You want to have a chance to succeed, obviously a lot, but you're going to go through some failures as well with the group, but just hope it's consistent. We hope for consistency there, and that's what they've done here. They've created that environment for us with the players, and I know the coaching staff has, you know, had its, you know, changes, but they're trying to do the best they can to take care of this core group here, and it's been fun to be a part of.
Our guest is Jason Hayward, Cubs outfielder. And so you play right field, and then you hear some talk earlier about, well, there's Bryce Harper, they might sign him. Bryce Harper also plays right field. What goes through a player's mind when you hear, not now everybody said, blown it up and shot it down and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What goes through a player's mind? What do you think when you hear some talk like that at your position?
As far as I'm concerned, it's my position, five gold gloves. But you know, past that, you know, they're trying to do the best they can to help our roster.
Yeah.
Regardless of who it is they're talking about or if they're talking about taking people away, whatever it is, man, that's stuff you can't control as a player. And all you can do is go out there and put your best foot forward and try and do the best you can to help your team win. And I feel like I've done a pretty damn good job of doing that in right field for my career. So.
Yeah, and defensively, you're obviously one of the elite defenders out there in right field, Gold Glove winner and whatnot. I'm curious your observations on Kyle Schwarber, because he's a guy who never played outfield before, has now been out there. I guess this is his second. I mean, I think his first experience in the outfield was in the playoffs back in 2016, which as crazy as that seems, or 2015, excuse me. But as he's progressed and as he's matured and learned and worked hard, certainly, observationally, how does he look over there in left field, and how has he improved in your mind over there in left field since you've been over there?
I mean, to be a catcher and then to be asked to bat leadoff and then to be asked to play left field and to all that have all that happen at the big league level with a team that's expected to win a World Series every season, that's it goes without saying how difficult that is. And then to have the knee injury he had and then to miss a full season and then come back the next year and try and play outfield again, recovering from all that stuff, man. So all those variables to me make it that much harder to play outfield. But, I mean, Schwarby, he's made a lot of great throws. I feel like you guys saw last year, made a lot of great throws from the outfield. He hustles his tail off every time, and he's trying to get better out there just mentally, the whole mental approach. But I feel like, to me, he's got it. He's got it down pat. He's a great hard worker, and he makes sure he can do what he needs to do to get to every ball out there.
Talking with Jason Hayward, Cubs right fielder. He joins us on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito from the Cubs convention. So there's a question from an E-Channel reporter who wants to know about Rizzo's wedding. So any tidbits, any gossip? What was it like? He's not here. He's on his honeymoon because that's why he's missing the Cubs convention.
If anybody saw the videos from last night, I mean, Tony's wedding was beautiful, elegant, super classy. But for a Rizzo wedding, I was expecting a little bit more crazy, and it wasn't crazy. It was just a good time.
Really?
Simple good time. Cubs players, Cubs family. I mean, we do what we do. We have fun. We get after it together and celebrate each other's victories and all type of stuff like that. But it was just...
Was there a time where just the players got on the dance floor and danced as if it were your disco Tony Rizzo in the victory room?
I don't want to say just the players, but I remember this one moment where there were... all of us out there, basically, and then Tom Ricketts came through, and he hyped everybody up, and he showed some dance moves. So that was just...
Tom Ricketts?
Whoa, now
Tom
see, Ricketts. There's breaking news right there.
Tom Ricketts.
Did he break dance?
I don't know what you call it. I don't know what you call it, but I got to say, he did it really, really well, though.
Get down, get funky.
He got funky.
All right. Going back to what you talked about, the vibe here, and I remember, and Kerry Wood was talking about it, Kerry Wood hits a home run against the Marlins, and it was the fateful Game 7.
It was the Marlins, yes.
And he said, forget the ending, the way that 2003 ended. Yeah. He said, but he's rounding the bases, and he's watching what's going on in the outfield, in the bleachers. And people are going nuts. Beer is flying everywhere. And this is like the fifth inning when he hit the home run, and there were still things to be decided. So compare and contrast that with, were you looking in the bleachers when you hit that grand slam? Because that was momentous for a lot of reasons. I don't know what you saw as you were rounding the bases.
For me, I just kind of took that moment in a little bit and just saw everything. Saw my coaches, saw my teammates, saw the fans. Looked at Wrigley for a little bit, you know. But it was just all around. Obviously, we won that game and. Mm-hmm. You know, an exciting finish, but it was just an epic moment for me in sports just to watch, you know, a city, Chicago, at Wrigley go that crazy over
exploded.
A win. And,
exploded.
You know, the way that whole inning started for us to come back and win that game that way, just awesome.
Now, you're a veteran guy. You've been around the big leagues for a number of years now. Is your off-season routine, is it something that you change from year to year depending on whatever the circumstances are, or do you have a plan that you tend to stick to from off-season to off-season that works for you?
Honestly, it's all about, you know, what season, you know, how the season goes, how your body feels, how late you play into the year. You know, for me, but it's kind of easy just to plan out what it is I want based off of that stuff. This year I was in Chicago a lot, working out at Wrigley early on up until, like, Thanksgiving. Then I went to Atlanta this year instead of Arizona, hung out with my parents, my brother, and worked out there and was able to take care of my body a little bit more with you know, some physical therapists and things like that. And I'll be out in Arizona like February 2nd.
So you got to get out of this. We know that.
Yeah, eventually. But
can you take us with you?
That's
you
right.
can come. You're welcome to come.
We'll take some swings.
But it's super nice to be able to work out of the facility here and kind of hibernate in this city and also enjoy what it has to bring throughout the holiday time.
Jason Hayward with us on The Score. You know, last year was a lot of – we read a lot about the intense and early work you did on your swing over the winter. It sounds much different than what you're describing now. So there was a lot of work. Compare and contrast, and how satisfied – were you with the work you put in the off season as you went through 2018?
No, honestly, I did a little bit less in 2018 swing-wise. It was just more mentality, man, just get back to being myself and not trying to do too much, use my hands at the plate, be athletic, and just take what the game gives me there. And that showed up a lot. There were a lot of big hits, a lot of key hits for us in key situations that I was obviously happy to come through, but just – letting the game come to me and not letting the moment get too big. And now also knowing what to expect and how I'm going to be used, you know, in the lineup, out of the lineup, pinch hitting, things like that. You know, I feel like those are things that people don't understand that go into all of our mindsets as we try and prepare for our day as players. And we got a group of guys that most of us are used to playing every day, especially myself. So that was just an all-around just kind of comfort thing for me going into 2018. And now I feel like I'm, you know, ready to go.
Do you have? You mentioned the coaching staff changes. So Chili Davis has moved on, new hitting coach. Iaposte is in. Do you have a relationship with him? Is that a big deal in your mind, hitting coach versus? I mean, Joe Maddon's obviously still there. It's still, you know, his team. He's running the clubhouse. It's your guys' clubhouse. Different coaches come and go over time. How much does that affect what you guys do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, man, it's a tough part of the business because you build relationships with people and you have people in your corner fighting for you. As players every day, especially your hitting coaches, man, that's like our second coach.
Yep.
For us, we spend a lot of time with them. But I would say it's probably going to be a little tougher as a younger player when you have changes like that. I went through that in Atlanta and then moving on to another team with St. Louis. And then here, obviously, we're talking about now having a few different hitting coaches. But for me personally, I know I got to do what I can every day, and I got to know what to expect out of myself and know what I'm looking for to feel. But like I was saying, like some of these younger guys, for them, while they're trying to build that and figure out what that is and what that looks like for themselves, it could probably be a little bit tougher.
Jason Hayward is our guest on The Score. We're broadcasting from the Cubs convention. The way Theo Epstein described it at the end of the season, the offense broke. It was his word, broke. Need to get it fixed. How did the players describe it? As you wound down that season, or maybe now you've had several months to step back and look at it, what do you think?
You know, I feel like disappointment goes without saying, because any year we don't win a World Series, we honestly feel disappointed. That's how much you know, we care about the city. That's how much we care about, you know, how much the organization does for us and how much they meet us halfway. But at the end of the day, man, it's a part of a learning curve. You know, it's a part of other teams got that much better. Other teams made some adjustments, and you know, we went out there and fought our tails off. And we had that schedule that we had at the end of the year, 42 games out of 43 days or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, pitching staff, you know, early on, I mean, like we talked about last night, man, our bullpen was our backbone, and, you know, that's only going to last you but so long. You know, starting pitchers, I mean, those guys, they locked it in, you know, second half. But it was just timing was a little off for that. And I feel like if we had some more season to play, I feel like some things could have turned around, but we didn't make it that far.
As you look at the division, too, Milwaukee obviously had a great last season. Mm-hmm. St. Louis has made some moves in the offseason. This is looking like, if not the strongest division in baseball, one of them for certain, and you guys are going to have your challenges ahead of you there in the Central.
Absolutely. You know, for me, I feel like I see this division get better every year in the NL Central. Pittsburgh Pirates won 11 games last year in a row, didn't make the postseason. Cincinnati Reds, they come play us in September here at Wrigley, and their whole starting lineup got everybody batting 300. Leadoff hitter for them had 14 home runs. So you're talking about that kind of talent, that kind of competition you're playing against on teams that aren't even expecting to go to the postseason on a nightly basis. So you got to bring your A game, and those, you know, those few series that, you know, can make or break you during the year when you're playing against teams in your division go a long way.
Well, the Cardinals got Paul Goldschmidt. Mm-hmm. So, and I just figure you guys now get Chris Bryant in a trade with a doctor that they made him. They made him all better because if they're this, they're the same kind of guy. They're regular MVP, they're perennial MVP candidates. He makes a huge difference. You really didn't have Chris Bryant at all, and you won 95 games. Now, the offense breaking at the end, it's a huge difference. Do you ever play what if with something like that?
I don't really play what ifs in our area and from our perspective, because you play what if, you're going to be disappointed a lot.
Yes.
I feel like.
And you already are in baseball.
There you go. But, no, absolutely, you know, that's super fair with KB. Because, you know, going through injuries, you know, going through the league, adjusting to him. But the biggest thing is, you know, I've had a shoulder injury in my career, and you're not able to feel like you can go up there to the plate and make those adjustments on a daily basis because you got something nagging you. That's a tough thing to deal with. But like you're saying, getting KB back and having him feel healthy and feel good, there's definitely going to be a lot to be said about the difference that he makes on a daily basis for us.
Wonderful blue eyes. You just look. Okay, before I let you go, we were told to ask, as you tried to help out your general manager last night,
okay,
with a bit of sartorial inefficiency on his part, can you share with the class what happened?
So, you know, Theo and Jed are up on the stage with Demp doing their interview, doing the comedy show. It's great. And then
this is during the Ryan Dempster portion of it,
during,
right?
During, yep, the late show.
And Theo's up at the late show.
And of course, you got the big screens up there for people in the stands to see, and we're kind of keeping track over there on the side. And then I noticed that you can see the cord where they got Theo's mic laced through his jersey or through his dress shirt. But then you start seeing some belly poke through. You start seeing some hair poke through, and I'm just like, okay, this isn't good, but I think it's going to go away. And it never went away. And to make it worse, the camera kept just kind of gradually zooming in. And I'm like, hey, like, somebody's got to go say something to him. Like, somebody say something to him, let him know. I try and call him. Of course, he's not going to answer his phone, but his phone was actually sitting right next to me. And then somebody was like, hey, just go up there. I was like, in the middle of the show, they're like, just go up there and tell him. So I just had to go let him know.
And what's a true friend right there.
What did you say? Yeah, he needed a friend, and he got one. That's a way to bail out a teammate. What did you say?
I just said, hey, you guys are doing great right now, but Theo, I got to let you know about your shirt, man. And when he got over there, he made sure that I didn't have any video footage of it, that no one sent anything to me. Like, he literally took my phone from me, and then, like, he didn't realize he closed it. He was like, here, open it with your face right now. Open it. I'm about to delete this video. And at the end of the day, he was like, I appreciate you, man. I can't believe nobody else came up there and helped me out. He's like, good teammate.
That's it. You are. He's Jason Hayward. Thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Jason. We
appreciate
it.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.